In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is poured by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA, Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Tuesday, brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. They're ready for tip-off. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by the Independent Innovative Brewers of the Oregon Coast. Joining us now is good friend of the show, one of the most legendary voices in the history of the sport, Rick Riz, longtime voice of the Seattle Mariners. His opening day is right around the corner this week. Rick, we got a lot of Mariner questions we want to ask you. We need to start, though, with... How are you? You went viral the last couple of weeks for an incident that happened in spring training. Are you okay? How's your head? We need an update on you.
Well, Andy and Brandon, yeah, I'm doing fine. I got conked in the back of my head with a foul ball about 10 days ago. We were in Maryville playing the Brewers, and I'm doing the play-by-play, and Reese Hoskins hits a foul ball. Back toward the booth, I didn't think it was going to come in, but, man, it came in hot. And all of a sudden, it's in front of my face, and I was able to luckily – turn my head and get hit in the back of the head instead of my face, and knocked me down to the ground. I was tangled up with my headphones. I told Gary Hill, keep doing it play by play, you know. But I wasn't knocked out. I didn't see stars, or I wasn't nauseated. I've been hit in the head in high school and college, you know, playing ball, and that's when I was nauseated and saw stars. I thought, okay, you know what, I'm going to be okay. EMTs came up, checked me out from the ballpark. Our team physician was there, and he was great, Dr. Pelto. And he tested me for a concussion. He said, Rick, I think you're okay, but you should go home. I go, no, I think I'm going to stay. And so I finished the game. I had a big old knot on the back of my head. And it went down. The headache went away, and I was fine. I think good Lord took care of me. You know, I was, you know, down and out for a few minutes, but I came back and finished the game. So I'm okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, absolutely, because you're a legend. We want to make sure you're okay, and we know you came back and called it. The reason we also ask is because – we were trying to put ourselves in a position where if that happens to us during an event and we end up being okay, even though in the moment it sounds horrendous, do we go back and listen and laugh at ourselves or the moment of like, I'm glad I'm okay? Because all-time audio-wise, Rick, that sound effect that you make of the, oh, it is like, it's iconic radio audio. So I'm curious, are you one that goes back and you can chuckle at it, or are you like, nah, I want to move on. I don't want to relive that moment.
No, I can chuckle at it right now. I haven't heard the audio at all. I haven't listened to it. I just was dazed and trying to figure out what I was going through at the moment, you know. And I really don't want to hear it again, but people have told me about it. You know, they were worried. And, man, I thought you were in bad shape. I go, for a few seconds, I was.
Yeah.
You know? But my dad always told me, if you can walk, you can work. And I got up, I started walking around, and I went back to work.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I appreciate all the fans and their concern. So I want to thank everybody for sending in their best wishes. But I was okay.
Love to hear that. Love to hear that the knot's gone down, the headache has gone away. And Rick Riz is our guest. Longtime voice of the Mariners, one of the most legendary broadcasters in baseball history as they get their season underway this week. How do we assess Seattle spring? I know it's been an interesting offseason, fans wanting more offense. You're so close to the playoffs. Here we are with one of the best staffs in baseball on the brink of starting the season. How do you feel that the spring has gone?
Man, I'm very, very happy with the way this ball club has worked out this spring, because the concern was the offense, you know. Can Jorge Polanco move from second base to third base? Is he going to be healthy? Man, he checked both those boxes. He had a great spring. Second base was wide open. Dylan Moore, Ryan Bliss. Ryan Bliss had a great spring. Looks like he's going to be there, and Dylan Moore is going to do his great thing as being one of the best utility guys in the game and play a lot, too, you know, at second base. Roddy Tellez, I think, is going to make the ball club. I don't have the final roster yet, but the offense really came around. I think Julio is just going to have a massive year this year. I think he's going to be an MVP real soon. And the thing about the offense is that they turned it around with when Danny and Edgar took over with 34 games left in the season, guys. They got things turned around. Edgar simplified things. They were striking out way too much, you know, not putting the ball in play, and Edgar simplified things. he told these guys to do what basically he did his entire career was, you know, hit the ball up the middle. That doesn't mean, you know, or think up the middle. Doesn't mean you're going to hit the ball up the middle, mm-hmm. but if you think, the, you know, up the middle, if you're a little early, you're going to pull the ball. If you're a little bit late, you're going to put the ball in play over to right field. And that's what these guys are doing. They're cut way down on the strikeouts. They struck out more than any team in baseball last year. In the last 34 games, this is how drastic the change was. They were 21-13, and they were hitting .214 as a team. The last 34 games, they had .264. They were averaging 3.9 runs a game. And the last 34 games, they averaged 5.1 runs a game, which was fourth in Major League Baseball, whereas before that, they were 27th in Major League Baseball. Edgar just kept it simple. Don't strike out. Cut down on your swing with two strikes. Early in the count, yeah, let it eat. You know, hit the ball hard, but we're going to see a much different offense this year. Plus, on top of that, you're going to have Randy Arozarena all year long in left field. You're going to have Victor Robles all year long in right field, who turned out to be one of the most exciting players in the game of baseball in the second half of the season. Cal Raleigh doing his thing. He had a super year. Luke Rayleigh's going to have a big year. So this ball club, I think, is a whole lot different. But we started to see that the last 34 games of last season.
Well, I'm curious, Rick, too. You mentioned Julio and how excited you are to see what he's going to be. I'm fascinated to watch his career continue to grow and what this season will be, because it felt like the year prior they had taken that step. And he kind of came in with this, you know, elevated Griffey-like buzz of this is the next face of the franchise. Yeah. And it got elevated to a pretty high level, and he didn't get off to such a great start. So I'm kind of curious what you think he learned going through the growing pains of last year and how he improved as the year went on and what he brings into this season, having gone into last year with such high expectations.
Yeah, guys, I think Julio improved as much as anybody, or maybe even more than anybody last year. Early in the season, we saw him taking some wild swings and trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark every time. If he just makes solid contact, if he catches the ball out in front of the plate, it's going to go out. He hit an opposite field grand slam to right center field last night, but we saw some wild waves, striking out way too much, and Edgar got him to just keep his weight on his back foot so he wasn't falling across home plate, swing down and through the ball, and we saw a drastic change. Julio hit .304 the last month of the season. He had 7 of his 22 home runs in September. He had 22 runs batting in September by cutting down his swing, by making contact, swinging at good pitches, making great swing decisions. So Julio, I think, was one of the biggest improvements when Edgar took over as the hitting coach last year. And I just think this, you know, the ceiling is so high for this kid right now. He's a rookie of the year, you know, back in 2022. And I just think he's going to win an MVP award real soon and multiple MVPs after that. But he kept his, and Edgar told me the other thing he did with him was he kept his hands back. You keep your hands back, you're quick enough to get to the ball and hit the ball to all fields, and that's what he does. But his approach now is to right center field, and it's a great approach. We saw that yesterday, and we saw it really all spring long.
Yeah, we're talking with Rick Riz, legendary Mariner broadcaster for a long time, as the Mariners get ready to start their season. Opening day is right around the corner. One guy who knew how to hit the ball when he was in Seattle, one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen, is Ichiro. And he's obviously been in the news a lot. And, you know, these kind of events, I think, for fans, you always get excited about it because it's a part appreciating the current team and getting a ticket and going and watching a good game. And then also getting to honor and appreciate an all-time legend. They got a big weekend. I think it's in early August where he's getting his number retired. And fans are going to take home, you know, replica plaques.
Yeah.
How excited is Rick Riz for Ichiro night and Ichiro weekend?
Oh, I'm so excited for him. Opening day, opening night, in a couple of nights, he's going to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. He's
now, will he be in full uniform for the opening pitch? Will he be in full uniform, Ichiro?
Here's what I want Ichiro to do on opening night.
Okay.
I want him to be in uniform out in right field. I want Terrence Long to come back and try to go from first to third. I want David Bell to come back to play third, and I want Ichiro to throw the first pitch to David Bell, throw out Terrence Long at third base.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the first pitch I picture in my mind.
Now we're talking.
You know, because that's when Ichiro got on the map, and you know, a couple games into the season, back in 2001 when he threw out Terrence Long. Nobody was more surprised than Terrence Long. But, August the 9th, they're going to retire his number 51, so that's going to go up there with number 11. Edgar Martinez's number 24, Junior's number, and of course Jackie Robinson's number 42, well deserved. He should have been a unanimous choice. I don't understand why one guy didn't vote for him for the Hall of Fame. So I'm really, really happy for Ichiro. It's going to be a huge weekend for Ichiro in August, but the big weekend is when he goes into the Hall of Fame. I can't wait to hear his speech.
Yeah.
When he went into the Mariners Hall of Fame last year, he gave an incredible speech, all in English, and was absolutely unbelievable. So I told him when I went back up to the podium after he sat down, I told him, I said, Ichiro, save that speech because you're going to need it next year. And this is next year, and he's going to go in the Hall of Fame, and well-deserved.
Rick, Ichiro famously would play pranks on people, or he'd make it known that like he really respects or likes you. Did you have a moment with Ichiro in your career where you're kind of feeling out each other? He doesn't really know you as well as maybe you're hoping to know him. Was there a moment for you or a story that you can remember getting to know Ichiro where you're like, oh, okay, we're good. We're one and one together.
Yeah, you know, he opened up a few times and said some really funny things that I can't repeat on the radio because he's just a really funny guy. He really is. And so, you know, I appreciated that trust that he could say whatever he wanted to say to make me laugh in that situation. And then, you know, the other day I was talking about in an interview about Ichiro and his great career, what made him so successful. But what I really said was his wife, Yumiko, you know, makes him these rice balls every day. And I said, that's the reason for Ichiro's success. And she heard the interview. And a couple days later, Ichiro came over. And I don't know if it was Brad Lefton or Alan, his interpreter, came out. And she made me two rice balls. And they were absolutely delicious. So I said, I hope these rice balls do for me what they've done for, you know, Ichiro. But he is a funny guy. He gave this speech before an All-Star game that you can't repeat, that everybody cracked up, you know. So when he wants to be funny, he can really be funny and entertain. But he entertained people when he walked up to home plate, when he walked out to right field. He was a consummate professional, the way he prepares better than anybody I've ever seen. Loosened up. He's still working out every day here at spring training.
Wow.
Loosens up. He takes BP, he goes out there and works with the outfielders, and he's absolutely amazing. So, yeah, it's going to be all Ichiro all season long, and what a well-deserved honor for one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. Rick, do you remember the first time watching him at bat? And I know you knew of his name because of the way they talked about him coming over, but yeah. Watching him at bat and then watching him go to the outfield, I remember watching him in that 2001 season. I went up to a game. And just looking at him during the inning, and he's just like constantly doing yoga. Do you remember having thoughts of what kind of, is this player going to succeed in the major leagues, the way his kind of batting stance and routine would go, the way he kind of put the bat on the ball to outrun it, and then like watching him in the outfield, what your thoughts were seeing Ichiro for the first time?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the one of the first at-bats where I was just absolutely amazed and blown away was when he made an out. We're playing the Yankees early in the season, one of his first few games in the major leagues with us, and he had a routine ground ball to Derek Jeter at short. Jeter's a Hall of Famer. He fielded the ball, threw it to first base, and he just barely got Ichiro at first base. And I remember looking at Derek Jeter, and I could read his lips. He went, wow. You know, I went, holy, this is a routine ground ball to short, and Ichiro almost beat it out. And he had a million of those infield base hits. That's why he hit like 330, you know, for his career or whatever it was. But he put you on notice that if he hit you a ground ball, you could not make a mistake. If you bobbled the ball, he was safe over at first base. And then when he wanted to, he could hit the ball about 400 feet easily, 420, and hit the ball out of the ballpark. He could hit 30 home runs if he wanted to, but a year. But his game was to put the ball in play, get on first, steal second, score runs. And that's what he did as well as anybody in the history of the game of baseball. But it was that at-bat that stood out for me. And then he hit a home run off of Mariano Rivera, you know, throwing, you know, 98 miles an hour, too. That was absolutely amazing. So he was just amazing every time he took the field.
One of the all-time greats. It'll be fun to see him get the recognition and the induction this summer, both into the Hall of Fame and, of course, getting his number retired by the Mariners. Last one for you, Rick, because you got more important things to do than talk to us, and we got, unfortunately...
No, I got all day.
We got all day. Just keep going, man. Just make this a three-hour podcast. I did want to ask you, you've worked so close with Dave Sims over the years, where I imagine you're happy for him getting the job in New York, but how weird is it not having Dave Sims around this spring training?
Yeah, you know, David got a great opportunity to go back home. He's from Philadelphia, but right out of college, he got to Manhattan, was writing for the Daily News, then got onto the radio side of the business, and then play-by-play. Now, I'm going to miss him. We were really close. We were the two old guys up in the booth. If he mentioned Robin Roberts, I knew exactly who he was talking about. If I mentioned, Kenny Hubbs or Billy Williams, of course, or Ernie Banks, of course, you know, he knew who I was talking about, Louis Aparicio. So we had a great time together talking about baseball history. We both loved the game of baseball and had a fun time working with each other. And I wish him all the best. I hope we beat the heck out of the Yankees every time we see it.
Amen, brother. That's a way to do it. Rick Riz, longtime voice of the Mariners, one of the legendary broadcasters in the history of the game, good friend of the show. We're so glad to hear that you're okay, Rick. Congrats on another season of broadcasting Major League Baseball. Enjoy this run, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Alan, Braden, thank you very much. Or Brandon, I apologize. It's going to be a lot of fun. 2 days away from the home opener against the A's. We should have a packed house, and it's going to be a fun season this year. The Mariners are going to get you back to the playoffs.